Thank you once again, Jesus, that we do get to be with your people in your house, studying your word, knowing that you will refresh us, you will encourage us. We're grateful that as Paul meandered about with this whole resurrection thing and a few other topics that seemed like he wasn't real encouraged by the Corinthian people, he ends on a very positive note here, and we're so grateful that as he focuses on you, it's always beautiful and uplifting, and we just ask that will water our hearts, help us to be nurtured today as we study your word. Your holy name we pray. Amen. Imperishable victory. These last eight verses of chapter 15, and chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians really is the gospel chapter, probably stands out in all of Scripture, just explaining what the good news is about Jesus, his death, burial, resurrection, his life, the fact that he cares so much for us so deeply. And we're on page 1844 in the Pew Bibles with the beautiful supergiant print that most of us can read without glasses or with. Once again, we thank you, God, for all that you've done, for the scripture that's been supplied physically, and also, Holy Spirit, for your inspiring each and every word here. Help us to allow you, Holy Spirit, to interpret as we move along through this passage. Imperishable victory, 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 58. Now I say this, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. He's been talking to them about gospel, and the whole gospel is that we get to inherit the kingdom of God. But he's pointing out very clearly here, and he's pointing this out to his fellow believers, you know, brothers and sisters, his equals. He's saying flesh and blood can't inherit. As we try to go through life in our own strength and in our human strength, in our earthly vessels, we have no inheritance in the kingdom. We have no ability to move into the eternal presence of God in our own making, in our own efforts. And he's talked a lot about perishable and imperishable, and he's talked about, you know, how you have to die to your old self, and it's being alive in Christ, recognizing that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his life, his eternal covering for us, the fact that he's in heaven interceding for us right now. It's all of that that makes it possible for us to be identified as imperishable. We've got vegetables in the back, and I can guarantee you if you left them there for a week or two, it's going to be obvious, become more and more obvious as time goes on, that they're perishable. By the time that the food bank gets produce, oftentimes it may even look really nice, but you put it on your counter or in the fridge for a couple of days, and you recognize that it's imperishable. That it is perishable. It starts to decay, just like our bodies. If you're not feeling it yet, as you get older, you start feeling that this is a perishable vessel. This vessel is not going to last forever. And yet, Paul's been talking about a new body, a resurrected body. And so when he spent a lot of time on resurrection, the concept of we die, but then we're raised something even better, and then he threw a couple of examples out. One of them that I love is the example of a seed. You take a seed and it gets into the ground and basically dies, but then it becomes something vastly better and new. And God is going to do that for us with our bodies. We don't have a clue how wonderful it's going to be when Scripture says that it's beyond our imagination what God can do for us. That's one of the areas. He's going to resurrect our bodies, and we will be like him. We'll be able to experience a body with no pain, with no decay, with everlasting, eternal use and it's going to be a wonderful thing. So when he's saying, talking to the church in Corinth here, a lot of them were still thinking of, you know, their bodies here on earth, and it's like, well, that's not going to enter the kingdom. This body you have here, that's not what enters the kingdom. It's the new body, the renewed body that God will provide for us. Behold, I'm telling you a mystery. We will not all sleep. That's what he's referring to as death. Some have died already. He says, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And he'd also written about this to the church in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he talks a lot about this experience of the last days. And when that last trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ are going to be raised first, and we who are alive will be caught up to join them in the clouds. Paul really believed at this time that there was a good chance that a lot of the people living then would be able to experience the resurrection, the rapture, just going straight from earthly body to new resurrected body, meet Jesus in the sky. All of us would be changed. Everyone would be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now, here's some reality for all of us. Every one of us is in the last days. And whether it's last days like Paul had been anticipating, thinking that the earth would pass away and all things would become new, that's eventually going to happen. It may happen during our lifetime. But either way, we're all in our last days. And when we pass from life to death, we go on to eternal life. And just this twinkling of an eye, and it's going to be something that we experience. Each one of us has to realize that we're nearing the end. Some of us closer than others. And it's not necessarily to do with age. A lot of people younger than me have passed on. Some of my family members younger than me have passed on. But it's going to happen to each one of us. And it's something to be aware of. That these bodies, this isn't the end. This isn't our climax. It's going to be something fresh and new, and it's going to come for each and every one of us. When the dead are raised imperishable, now you think about, there's nothing more perishable than a dead body laying in the ground. Doesn't matter how much formaldehyde or whatever else you try to stick in somebody, try to preserve them, that body decays. If you ever have heard about or known about anyone that had to be dug up later for whatever investigative purposes, there's decay. It doesn't take very long for the body to decay. And yet, Jesus is saying they're going to be raised imperishable with perfect bodies, this resurrection body that Paul's been talking about here. That's something to look forward to. That's something to know in your heart of hearts and in your mind that it truly will take place. If Scripture says it, if God says it, it will happen. Amen. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. Not immorality. We do enough of that. Immortality. It's we're putting on the robes of righteousness. We're putting on Jesus Christ's likeness. When we get our new bodies, we'll be made new, we'll be made perfect. When this perishable puts on the imperishable and this mortal puts on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written. And if you look at your footnotes, you can find out where these things have been written. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And Paul, being an Old Testament scholar, a Hebrew Scripture scholar, is continually referring back to and oftentimes quoting Scripture from the Hebrew Bible. And here he's going back and he's quoting prophets that recognized that this was going to happen. Earlier, when he said there's a new mystery that's been revealed, a lot of the mysteries that we have access to the revelation of are revealed in New Testament. A lot of times it was Jesus during his life here that he would give a further revelation of what we are about to experience in the future. There's a progressive revelation as you look in Genesis and looking back at it, we can recognize that there was a prophecy that Satan was going to be defeated, that we were all going to be able to be accepted in the Beloved, that there was going to be a human that came that would bruise Satan's head. And it was referring to Jesus. And as you look through all of Scripture, it's all about Jesus. And so we get to this point where there's more progressive revelation, but it's not like we know everything yet. Paul even referred earlier, it says we see now in a glass dimly, like we're looking in a mirror and it's all blurry. But there's going to come a time where we see everything clearly. And so we're going to have this perfect body with perfect sight, and we'll be able to know exactly what's going on around us. And at that time, it's like, yeah, death is still an enemy to many of us. I think we would consider death something not to look forward to. But Paul's saying, you know, after that, death is defeated. And when Jesus defeated death on the cross, it's victory for each one of us. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And we think about it now, when he's saying we're going to be putting on the imperishable, we're going to be putting on immortality, sin will be removed. It's like, okay, you might have been stung by a bee, but then that gets removed and taken out, and it's no longer going to affect you. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters. Now he starts this section out with talking about his beloved brothers and sisters. He finishes it with his beloved brothers and sisters. Paul is continually equating himself to them. He doesn't see himself as above them or somehow better than. He's just equal with them. My beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God, we are so grateful that our labor is not in vain. Help us to labor in you, Christ, and to recognize that there's nothing wasted. There's no part of who we are or what we've done that you can't redeem and make for good. Help us to recognize that and to move confidently through the rest of our lives, knowing that there's going to be this beautiful reunion with all of your family, everyone together. In your holy name we pray. Amen.